Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We continue to deal with that very difficult subject of church discipline that comes up in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with the problem of divisions in the church. And he deals with that in great detail. We're really a little bit amazed that he would consider divisions, cliques in the church, to be such a serious problem that he takes four chapters to deal with that problem, but he does. And one of the reasons, no doubt, that he takes that long is because people don't understand how serious it is, and they don't understand the reasons behind it. There's a lot of things they don't understand. They didn't, in that particular case, understand the true position of spiritual leaders, of pastors and apostles and preachers, and there are just a lot of things they didn't understand that he needed to explain to them so that they would understand correctly and could behave correctly. We don't behave correctly if we don't understand aright. First of all, we must know the truth. We must understand what is right, what is wrong. We must understand things correctly as God describes them to us. And then we'll be in a position to act according to truth. Now, it is possible, of course, to understand correctly and refuse to act according to your proper understanding. And that is serious, serious, serious rebellion. But oftentimes we are in disobedience because there's something faulty in our understanding. And it is our responsibility, of course, to correct that, to study the Word of God sufficiently that we no longer misunderstand. We can't use that as an excuse. It's like the officer pulls you over on the highway and says, do you know that you were speeding 15 miles an hour over the speed limit? And you say, well, no, I didn't know that, officer, because I didn't see any speed limit signs. And so if you think that's going to get you off the hook, it probably won't. It all depends, of course, upon that particular officer and his judgment and disposition in that situation, but the likelihood is that he will say something like, well, I'm sorry, sir, but the speed limits are posted. You may not have seen the sign, but it is your responsibility to pay attention and to know what the speed limit is on whatever section of road you happen to be driving. That's your responsibility. I can't excuse you because you didn't know, because your failure to know is your own fault. It's your own failure to pay attention. It's your own failure to inform yourself as to what you could have informed yourself to if you had paid attention to it. You may have been distracted. You may have been distracted by conversation in the car. You may have been distracted by something going on outside. You may have been rubbernecking some accident by the side of the road when the speed limit sign was posted there and you whizzed right by it without noticing it because you were distracted by something else. There's a number of things that could have caused you not to see it, but it's your responsibility to know what it is. And folks, with the Bible and Christians, it's the same thing. It's our responsibility to know what it says and to act accordingly. So ignorance is no excuse when it comes to obeying the speed limit, and ignorance is no excuse when it comes to obeying the Bible. Well, I pause. This is Wednesday, July 28. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping us financially to support the station, this broadcast on this station. So there are a lot of people who don't obey what the Bible says in regard to church discipline because, not because they don't know that it's in the Bible, but because they just don't want to know. They don't want to inform themselves of any of the details because, frankly, they don't want to be responsible for more details. They're just ignoring the whole idea. That's not good. That's not good. We are responsible for what the Bible tells us to do. And here we are, wanting to represent Christ in the world, wanting to see our community, our nation, as well as, of course, people in other nations, but particularly people in our community and in our country to turn to Christ. We want to proclaim the gospel. We want to see revival. We want to see our nation turned back in a Godward direction where there's respect for Jesus Christ and respect for the Word of God as there was at a much higher level in previous days than there is today. We want to see all these things happen. Has it ever occurred to us that one of the biggest impediments to this happening may be our own failure to pay attention to the Bible? I mean, here we are, as it were, saying to the world, you shouldn't be acting this way. It's contrary to God's word. You shouldn't be living in such flagrant immorality that's contrary to God's word. You shouldn't be, you name it, all the things that we see going in the world on in the world around us, and we say, that's contrary to the Bible. That's against the word of God. That's opposite what God tells us that we ought to do. And it is as if we are saying to the world, you need to understand what the Bible says and submit to it. And if you do, your life will be better. And if you do, our nation will be better. And I believe that, don't you? But here's the problem. If we're not willing to obey the parts of God's word that we're not happy with, how can we blame unconverted people for not obeying the parts of God's word that they're not happy with? In fact, we're more responsible for it than they are. After all, the commands in the Bible, though it's in one sense it can be accurately said they apply to everyone, not just to Christians. When the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Those are general commands to mankind, and there are more too, of course. I just threw those out as some examples, but those are general commands to mankind that tells us what God requires of people, of humanity, the people he has created, that tells us what he's going to hold people accountable to when they stand before him in judgment someday. These are general commands, but what I'm trying to say is, if people who are Christians aren't paying attention to God's commands, how in the world can we expect non-Christians to? We've got it all backwards. Here we are, somehow demanding, or at least, if not demanding, at least desiring, that unconverted people come under the authority of God's word, and in many cases, we who claim to be Christians are not coming under the authority of God's word. It's just a different part of God's word. We're willing to come under the commands, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. I hope we are. We're willing to come under the authority of God when he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and so forth. We come under those commands, and we say to people around us, This is the best way to live. If you would obey these commands, your whole life would be a whole lot better than it is by ignoring these commands and going your own way. But are we picking and choosing? Are we picking out the commands that we think are important ones and we think are the ones that we're willing to submit to, and then we're saying, but there are other ones that we don't think are all that important? Well, do you see the problem? How can we expect other people to submit to the authority of God's Word if we're not doing it? How can we ask God to bring revival to our nation if we're not willing to submit to what He has given us in His Word? We're asking Him to come into our nation and turn the hearts of people back to God, which means what? To reverencing God, to obeying God, to submitting to God, to recognizing the Bible as His Word and as the way He tells us to live. And we're praying for God's Holy Spirit to come and to turn the hearts of people in our nation in that direction so that they're willing to place themselves under the authority of God's commands. And the question is, are we doing that? Or are there areas of God's commands that we are ignoring? And don't you think that if that's the case, we better clean up our own act first? Isn't that really what the Bible is saying when it says that judgment must begin at the house of God? We must judge our own sins first. Isn't that, in a sense, what Jesus is talking about when He says that before you can take the speck out of your brother's eye, you've got to take the log out of your own eye? That we've got to start with ourselves, folks. We've got to start with Christians. We've got to start with the church. We've got to start with people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ and submitted to the Word of God, and be sure that we are submitting to the Word of God and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of those areas, this area of church discipline, that many times gets just completely ignored. And it's like, oh, that doesn't matter. Doesn't sound that way to me. I'll read again 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality that is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, what about those instructions do you not understand? What about those instructions are ambiguous and unclear and impossible to follow because we can't figure out what the Word of God is saying here? I don't think that's the problem. We'll continue talking about it on the broadcast tomorrow. There's a lot of things that need to be considered here, and I recognize that not every element is totally crystal clear, but there are enough elements that are that we better bow to the authority of God's Word. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.